Okay, so my background is I've been working in community health and health strengthening for about 30 years in 14 countries, and I've been associated with three universities. I currently have a clinical assistant professor appointment with the Department of Global Health, the University of Washington. And of interest, my first appointment job in community health was working for community controlled Aboriginal health services in Australia, and I was employed by them, interesting, living in their communities. And I have nothing to disclose. So what is this community engagement? Well, for me, the ideal characteristic is that the community owns the project to the extent that they contribute the local knowledge about how an intervention can be most effectively implemented locally to produce the best health outcomes. Good internal motivation, if mobilized, produces behavioral change. We provide the scientific evidence, that is, of course, an essential thing, that an intervention works generally across countries and across similar situations. But this alone is not enough to produce good outcomes locally. The what? Engagement can take place in planning, in implementation, and evaluation at the local level. We, particularly in the US, love to complicate things, but at the community level, it must be accessible to and fed back to the community, and we need to, our role is to provide the complexity for funders and that. Good community engagement involves engagement at all levels, micro, meso, macro, and then the developmental aspect, that is helping communities move from a passive to an active role in health. Most communities are quite passive through history, through all sorts of things, and we need them to change their mindset to realise that what they do matters. And as more and more communities are going to end up as refugees and migrants, this is something that we need to work inside people's heads. Why is it essential? There is now evidence, in our terms, that it's necessary for the best results. Lasting internalisation and practice of health behaviour change only comes about when communities' members own the change. Most motivation to perform well, after PINK, is not just financial. Financial compensation is only part of the motivation. Everyone needs some financial motivation. But autonomy, mastery and personal purpose need to be addressed for good performance when dealing with non-menial tasks. The history is that donors and governments and NGOs and consultants move on and are short-termed in their outlook, generally. Technology is good, but is it really affordable? Is it accessible? Is it sustainable? Communities provide knowledge on how to best implement interventions locally. Experts cannot provide this knowledge for thousands and thousands of small localities. What's the biggest resource in the world? The 2 billion people living in urban slums, and the, I don't know exact number, I don't know, I haven't a figure in mind for urban areas, for rural areas, but although all our examples so far have been about urban, about rural areas, we could very much talk about the urban area. So what's the evidence now? And this study by Farnsworth et al. Has already been mentioned, and I need my glasses for a moment, excuse me. F- Farnsworth et al. Identified 30 documents from 18 countries that met their eligible criteria. And their conclusions are what we're concerned about. And they came to the conclusions on this evidence-based review that working collaboratively or achieving shared leadership with a community can lead to behaviour change and cost-effective, sustainable transformations to improve critical health behaviours and reduce poor health outcomes in low and middle income countries. This was across a range of areas from reduced neonatal mortality rates to improve nutritional status. And the quote at the bottom is from a book by Aaron Mayers in relation for businessmen, How You Don't Succeed Cross-Culturally. Aaron Mayers writes, "The important points for cross-cultural communication are putting yourself in their shoes, being humble and cautious, or showing a general interest in those, being curious, or showing a general interest in those you wish to communicate with cross-culturally." So now I'm going to mention three projects quite quickly just to make one or two points. So don't worry too much about the details. These are all rural projects, two in Africa, one in Cambodia. And I'm mentioning them just to bring out the important point that without the community engagement in these projects, the projects would not have achieved the results. And I can give you copies of these if you email me. So this particular project is Management for Management Sciences for Health, USAID funded. It was in a traditional rural Muslim population with a high CMR, 115. It was for 17, 16 villages, and what was involved was providing integrated community case management to community health workers for communities which were more than 5 kilometres from the nearest health facilities. The community health workers did health visits, did education, and provided that first line management of pneumonia, malaria, and diarrheal disease. These were quite remote, a lot of these were quite remote communities, so local NGOs got involved. It was the local NGOs that went to these communities, which were 3 or 4 days travel from the nearest health facilities, and helped support and encourage these community health workers. Who were the community health workers? The communities chose them, and in these traditional Muslim communities, they didn't choose women at all. They chose older men because they felt that the woman could not move around after dark. That's a bit of anti-intuitive for us. Okay? But let's see what results came out of it. And how was this evaluated? Through case controls and through the usual KPS, key informant interviews and focus groups. I'm not going to discuss the case control in detail, but just in overview, 300 mothers in clusters from the intervention area were compared through interview with 300 mothers in comparable control areas. In the control areas, there are also community health workers, but they were not trained in integrated community case management. So here we are, I've talked about this here, eh? Older males, specifically for the community health workers, okay, they wanted to get a little bit of money, but when we interviewed them, they said their main motivation was their role in the community, their respect for the community, their desire to help their community. This was the big reason they did it. And then when they came along, they then discovered that there was some money involved. It started with their motivation. And here it is, basic remuneration came later. And I'm not going to talk about it in detail here, but initially on follow-up, their skills were not maintained. So a process that was developed through a French NGO which actually led to maintenance of their clinical skills through local community groups. And these are the results. Who was approached for initial care? So 78% approached the community health worker in the intervention area initially, and 36.3% the CHW in the control areas. 8.5% here initially went to the health facility, and here only 31.9%. Remember, the nearest health facilities are more than 5 kilometres away. Time delay before seeking treatment. Just in summary, 82.2% were seen within 24 hours. And this was only 43.5% in the control area. And these were being seen by people who didn't know how to manage them either. Use of healthcare. Were these workers just putting people away from going to health centres? The answer is no. 29.7% of those in the intervention area had previously only done self-medication. That was what they did, and they hoped for the best for their children and then moved on from there. Mother's perception of quality of care. 90.5% of the mothers were satisfied compared with 70.3% in the control areas. And these are the local NGO guys. These are the NGOs that went out to these remote areas to help and encourage and support the people. That's some silly buffoon that got in there somehow. Next project is the Cambodia Enrich project. Enrich stands for Evidence-Based Interventions for Improving Nutrition to Reinforce Infant, Child and Maternal Health. Enrich. And this project was evaluated in 2014. There's some key details. It was poor, a lot of stunting, low literacy. These are the key components. Use of community members as the change agents, linked to the community with village-chosen village health volunteers, a whole family approach, mothers and fathers groups, the PD Health approach was used, which I won't go in detail about here, but through community involvement, that was extended not from the original 30 villages to all 138 villages, and it changed from a PD Health approach to regular village meetings run by the women themselves with food provided by the women themselves. Another component of the project was provision of safe water supplies. So what's the community involvement in this project? Culturally appropriate approach, building on and respecting existing community structures, community involvement at all stages, including evaluation. An approach was developed where data was collected and taken back to the local communities and evaluated in that way, but certain information was of course also sent on to the formal health systems. Community health members, village chiefs and monks were part of the change agents. Meetings, household visits. Family-centred approach. The behavioural change communication was developed on the basis of basic research involving the men and women themselves and adapted on their feedback. And then there was this approach of message saturation. Okay, as I mentioned before, Mothers became the key organisation. MOH and health centre staff were also engaged at all stages, and sustainability was thought about from the beginning, so that in addition to the community level evaluation and training of health evaluation of health workers, the health staff from the local health facilities were involved with them and had meetings with them every 3 months. And these are the sort of results that they achieved. Okay, a 15.5% reduction in stunting in children aged 0 to 23 months. better management, ORS, better management of diarrheal disease, of febrile episodes, of sleeping under inset bed necks, and of, for mothers themselves, use of contraceptives increased from 20.7% to 79.1%, a 58.4% change. And I'm suggesting that they could not have achieved those sort of results without a community involvement. The next case here is a project from remote Mozambique, the Ozanzana Zambezia project, which ended in 2013. So it was implemented by ADRA, of course USAID funded, and this was for very poor, remote communities with their nearest health facility usually 20 miles away. Large populations, very limited health facilities. And the project had a couple of components: income generation, I won't talk about that in detail, improving nutritional status, and a very important part of it, literacy training for adults. What were the health activities? And this is where I'm focusing on here, this idea of the need for development of community level management. Community leadership councils, mothers and fathers groups, cooking feeding sessions and monthly growth monitoring programs, and behaviour change communication through several cadres of community health workers. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later, there's more than one night. And they produced very good results. This is the amount of decrease of malnutrition in children 0 to 23.9 months on the Z minus 2 Z score. So it went from 25% down to nearly 7% over 5 years. And just in general here, just to go through it quickly, diarrheal disease, washing behaviour, use of latrines, improve water resources. I won't go into that too much. What were these community leadership councils? 125 of these were established, and each one of these had 25 members. So there were the community leaders, and there were members of the mothers and fathers group, members of the water committee, but also members of the different cadre of health workers. There was not one type of health worker. There were hygiene promoters, there was CIMCI workers, family planning and STI workers, traditional birth attendants. Okay, so in order to meet the community needs, several varieties of community health workers were needed. So what did these community leadership councils do? They met regularly. They dealt with local community issues as well as implementing and evaluating their own programs. Feedback came from all the different types of community health workers. And the representatives from the community health workers travelled for sometimes 2 days to meet regularly with the community health staff, who hardly ever came out to that level of community. They looked at community health members with special needs and dealt with them locally or escorted them to the health centre if needed. And this is certainly clinical supervision was involved, but distance was a problem. These organisations, I don't know if you're familiar with the term learning organisation, it's a term from Senge, which means that the organisation learnt, had a common vision, got input from different members, according to their skills and talents, and through working together and groupthink, developed skills more and more to deal with different problems. And when there's a problem that came up, a new problem, they could get input from the health centre level as to what to do, or they could go to the health centre level for help. So there you are. So what I'm saying is that these three situations and many others are examples where without the community involvement, you're not going to get sometimes any results, and you're definitely not going to get good results. So thank you very much.